The Toronto Star ran a piece on the culture of protest last Saturday. They were talking about France. In France, demonstrations took hold during the French Revolution and showed no signs of slowing. But analysts warned times have changed, and today's rallies are often marred by thugs and violence. The French were pioneers, says a New York-based historian, Charles Tilly, who has written extensively on the significance of revolt and protest in French culture. Well, we're seeing a lot more protests on the streets, and we've been seeing a lot of protests in Ontario, mostly since the Mike Harris Tories took office and started slashing and cutting social programs. The end result of that was far more people going hungry, far more people going homeless. The poor all over this country have had enough, and they're starting to get a little bit more militant in their demands. They've watched government after government pay lip service to the poor, but as soon as that same government gets elected into power, the story flips back over to we don't have enough money. The recent provincial budget just stymies me in the fact that only 2% was given as an increase to those living in dire poverty, and we're talking way below the $20,000 a year poverty line. We're talking $6,000 to $12,000 a year. That's what people in this province are living on in the social programs that they have.
Freedom of the press is only guaranteed when you own the press.
It's time to hear the other side of the news.
Communication breakdown. Pause for the message. Wake up. Every station is a gentrification. Global syndication is the shaping of the nation. But do we even know who plants the seeds? You think the media works for you, but it's a job for them. They're just selling proof.
The other side of the news.
Ignorance grows on the spirit like a tumor. Till freedom is a rumor.
Even though the Ontario government has instilled the green belt, has talked about environment, even starting to talk about peak oil and alternatives to gas and oil prices, it just boggles my mind to hear them give so much of that $33 million budget, after hearing them cry poor for so many months, into roads and infrastructure. Yes, a lot of the cities do need infrastructure. That's important. But how many more roads do we need? How many more cars do we need on those roads? Peak oil is already here. We're having problems keeping up with the gas prices as they are right now. Why on earth would a government that knows this, that has a greenbelt plan, come up with a budget that favors roads? I can't understand it. And I do understand why poverty groups are becoming more and more vocal, more and more physical, because everybody is just plain fed up.
Minister's office. I'm sorry, please hold.
After 5 years of organizing poor people in Valleville, various TAG members are being rounded up by the police for their alleged participation in the recent trashing of Ernie Parsons' office. This act was carried out only after they attempted to talk to Parsons regarding the desperate plight of single moms and people with disability in that community, who have been condemned to a life of discarded food bank items and contempt by local politicians, the Children's Aid, police, and welfare workers. We talked to one of those TAG representatives to find out why they're being so militant. We also looked around at some of the other Ontario Common Front websites. For example, in Sudbury, members of Sudbury's Hunger Clinic organized a committee to lead militant occupation of the Liberal MPP's office, Rick Bartolucci. The entire office building was in a lockdown mode as approximately 60 people occupied the seventh floor of Bartolucci's Ministry of Northern Development headquarters, just to give his government a mere taste of what awaits them if the budget didn't give the 40% social assistance rates that OCAP and other poor people have been asking for 12 years. Well, they didn't get it. They didn't get their 40% raise. They only got a 2% raise. And with the coming cuts to special diet, they're actually losing money. People are fed up. They're robbing grocery stores. You're going to see more of that. On one of their links from the OCAP site, the Ontario Common Front Against Poverty calls upon many poor communities of the entire province of Ontario to step up the campaign of economic, political, and social disruption of business as usual in the coming months in order to force the provincial government to restore the rates of welfare to their 1995 level. Can you believe it? 1995 level. Only the poor know how hard it is to live on the existing rates and how urgent it is that they be raised. They've seen so much suffering since the Tory and Liberal attack on the poor communities that they've decided it's time to turn their disgust with governments into action. We spoke to a member of the TAG group out in Belleville to find out why they got so militant and why they're still going to continue their actions.
How involved are you with TAG?
I'm an organizer with TAG. I've been an organizer for 5 years.
We're talking to John from TAG, the activists and tenant group out of Belleville, Ontario. Is that correct, John?
That's right.
Okay.
It's a tenant action group.
Action group?
Tenant action group, yeah.
Okay, and that's what TAG stands for?
That's exactly right.
How long has TAG been organized?
For over 5 years. We're a direct action anarchist collective.
Oh, you really are an anarchist. Okay, yeah. I was under the impression that you guys weren't as direct as OCAP was.
Well, it's not like a competition, but we've, from the get-go, we got support from OCAP during days of disruption when Harris was in power, right? 2016 was a big event that OCAP organized, and they organized what's called the Ontario Common Front, and we allied ourselves with them, along with many other communities across Ontario, and from the beginning, we've been direct action, whether it's if there's a hydro cutoff going on and the hydro company won't negotiate a repayment plan for the family, then we go into the offices and we occupy. If there's a welfare check being cut or a community startup benefit being denied, we go into the welfare office and we occupy, disability office, occupation. So that's what we do. We are direct action and we're militant.
When you say militant, you mean what?
Well, what we mean is that we believe, you know, our tactic of direct action, or the way we do it here and other groups across Ontario do it as well, in the Ontario Common Front, is we try to talk first and try to negotiate. And then if we're not successful, then we write a letter, demand letter, giving them a deadline. And in our small town of 40,000, they know that we will occupy the office with 10, 20, 30 individuals. And we won't back down. We've faced arrest many, many, many times.
Mm.
Whether it's a squatting movement, you know. So by that sense, I mean militant. We don't believe in bombs. We don't believe in hurting people. But we do believe in confrontational tactics. If that's...
Okay. So if you're saying confrontational, I guess what one of the reasons I'm calling you is because what I understood from a letter I got off the web in research is that you had a sit-in in the MPP's office, and it was destructive.
Well, yes. What happened was we're involved in the Raise the Rates campaign, and that's a campaign across Ontario where we've gotten sympathetic doctors to sign up people on social assistance with special diet benefits. And in our town, we've processed over 900 people for this benefit, and the McGuinty government decided to cut and make it much more difficult to get the special diet benefit, $250. And what that means, practically speaking, is for a single mom, three kids, an extra $1,000 on their welfare check, right?
Wow.
So, so the victory was tremendous. So when we heard that the special diet benefit was being cut, we organized a delegation of women and children to go to our local MPP's office, Ernie Parsons. And he's also the associate minister for disability issues.
Mm-hmm.
He's not just a backbencher, right?
So he knows the issues.
He knows the issues, and so this delegation of women and children went to his office, and he promised. Well, first of all, he talked about a 10% increase to welfare, but he also promised.
This is before the Ontario budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we were led to believe that we'd be at least expecting 10%, not 2%, which eventually came out. So this delegation of women and children, peaceful delegation, went to his office and gave him a deadline until Valentine's Day to get back to them about setting some meeting with Minister Cupitello. And the deadline went by, and he didn't respond, despite the promise. And so we went back to his office a couple of days after Valentine's Day, and his door was locked, and we just pounded on the door. We didn't do very much. And five people were arrested at that time.
For what charge?
Trespassing.
Okay. He was in his office when you were pounding on his door?
No, we don't know. He wasn't. The women actually got into his office. It was locked and they got in.
How did they get in?
I'm not sure because I was arrested by that time, so I'm not sure. Determination, the bravery of these people to actually get into this office, despite the police there arresting people, they still tried to go in. And at that time, they went in and sat down. And so five of us were arrested. We're only in for about 5 minutes. And then a couple weeks later, people in the group carried out a raid in his office, a daytime raid, went into his office, overturned desks.
Oh, you were destructive then.
We were. We do believe in escalating.
You actually overturned desks.
We overturned desks, photocopier, things like that.
Did you break anything? Is it non-repairable, damaged, or is it just flipped upside down?
As far as I know, nothing was. There's no physical injury.
Okay, so how many staff in Ernie Parsons' office when this
was
going?
There was one staff member.
So one staff member was, what happened to the staff member?
The staff member got on the phone and said, we've been tagged. And the members who carried out the raid fled. And what it was out of total frustration. The MPP would not get back to us despite the promise. And so something had to be done. See, in our group, we believe that if we say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. And you know, the special diet cuts are going to be felt beginning of April 1st for some people, right? It's incremental. Some people were signed on, different times. So some people will carry on to receive the special diet benefit up until June. And so we're starting to feel the cuts now. And most people in our group are single moms. That's what our group is about.
Yeah.
And when you look into their eyes and they tell you what it's going to be like, you know, we know for a fact that families, I mean, right now, because of that raid, our group has now gone pretty well underground now.
Mm-hmm.
They've arrested one single mom who had nothing to do with this.
Why was she around?
She's prominent within the group.
Okay, and, so because she was in the group, you're saying she was arrested, not because she participated.
Exactly. They suspect that she had participated, but she hadn't. So right now there's a lot of fear in this town. We definitely have the police searching for tag members. Another member is going to turn himself in tomorrow morning.
What's the charge now?
Well, there's 7 charges. I'll try my best. 2 mischief charges, vandalism charge, illegal assembly, committing a crime with a mask.
You wore masks?
Some people did. So not everybody did.
I didn't even know there was such a charge as committing a crime with a mask.
Yeah, I think they brought that on because of Zorro or something. So, yeah, there's other charges. I don't...
What is the local media saying about your group now?
The local paper, what they did was they printed a cartoon, and that cartoon depicts the front of Parsons' office, the MPP, and it shows signs on his office window saying, come on in, we have jobs available. And then they show Parsons peeking out saying, this will keep him away. So it's pretty hateful. It's pretty anti, it's poor bashing. You know? Yes, I mean, what they tried to convey in the cartoon was that TAG is made up of people who don't want to work.
Okay.
What we've seen, I mean, we organized 8 hunger clinics. The poor people in the low-income housing projects organized 8 hunger clinics, 900 people showed up. We had doctors in tears, you know, working from 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock, processing as many people as possible. We had to send people away, you know, and these people that organized it worked their butts off, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And
one of the other things I wanted to ask, and we have an organization here in Hamilton that's just recently started up, and it's mimicking the organization in Toronto that Dr. Gary Blotch from St. Michael's Hospital has put together. Doctors, I don't know what they call themselves.
I've read about that.
Yeah, so it sounds like maybe these Belleville doctors that are frustrated need to find out about this Toronto group and mimic it in your own community.
People, we also did one clinic, hunger clinic, in Trenton, a neighboring city, army base town, and it was total madness. You know, we're talking about hundreds of people.
No kidding.
Waiting all day to see these doctors and having to turn away many people. And
no kidding.
It was fantastic in the sense that we were able to organize 8 of these things. And we sat in the sense that a lot of people didn't get signed on.
it's very sad that it shows such a strong indication of how many people are literally starving to death and they have kids. And that's the most upsetting thing about all of this. Doesn't matter what I've heard from the politicians, when they are penalizing the parent, the child is always going to suffer, no matter what programs are out there.
Cupertello has come out, the minister has come out and said that you can't feed your kids on what welfare dishes out.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And yet all we got was a 2% increase. And so what this means, unfortunately, is that groups across Ontario, we've been involved, the Ontario Common Front in recent weeks has shut down the Ontario Rental Housing Tribunal on 4 occasions across the province.
Let's talk about the Rental Housing Tribunal. Why do they feel they have to shut down these rental housing tribunals?
Well, because it's known as the eviction machine. That is, when these cuts occur, then people will be evicted, and that's going to be a place where they are evicted. And many families their tenancies are terminated without a hearing,
mm-hmm.
and it's a weak point for governments, because they operate these tribunals across the province, and they usually have only one guard. And if you march in there with 20 or 30 people, you can effectively stop a dozen evictions.
Spoken like a true activist. You're focusing on the fact that it's a very easy target to popularize, but I was thinking the other way around, that the reason that the tribunal is there and what they call themselves and why they say they're being set up by the government, and in essence, they're not helping the tenants, obviously.
No, they're not. I mean, what the Tenant Action Group does as well is we fight evictions, and on many, many occasions, we've gone to the Ontario Rental Housing Tribunal representing tenants, and have been quite successful. But recently, since McGuinty got in, we found that these adjudicators, the ones who make the decisions ultimately, whether or not a family can stay, are not listening. They're extremely reactionary and not sympathetic. And so the notion of the Tenant Protection Act actually protecting tenants is a bad joke.
Yeah, it's a misnomer. Actually protecting the landlords.
Definitely.
Do you not have many legal aid clinics fighting for these people being evicted in your area?
The legal clinics seem to be nowhere, and we have nothing against social agencies or any of these other groups out there fighting poverty. But I just want to know where they are. You know, they're nowhere to be found, and I'm not hearing about anything really happening in Toronto or Hamilton. With all I know is that. Is that Guelph, Kitchener, Toronto, Kingston, Belleville, Sudbury have all recently had very, very prominent, very loud and boisterous actions. They have not just voiced our opposition to people living in poverty, to the way the government is allowing people to live in poverty, but are standing up and organizing it. And this 2% that they've now dished out is like a red flag to us. Keep on fighting here.
It's good to hear that there is a grassroots movement that is working in conjunction with other communities, and I guess the web is what's keeping it in touch with each other. It's almost like a poverty union. Organizing poor people is one of the hardest things to do, especially when a lot of them don't have an address. And this Ontario Common Front seems to be a very effective grassroots movement. And if other people wanted to find out about getting involved, what would you suggest they do, John?
I would suggest that they get to the library or whatever, look on the internet, find the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty website, and start from there. One of the things that we've been doing is, you know, our group has been traveling across the province to work to other groups, and other groups come to our towns, and all together, if there's a town that needs help, contact Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, and we will go out there, and we will assist in organizing.
How do you mean you will assist?
We will go out there and talk to the people who want to organize a direct action group and help them out materially and physically.
One of the things I've noticed about Hamilton, I've been doing this sort of activist media for 16 years or so.
Yes, you're well known.
One of the things that I've noticed in Hamilton is they're not very OCAP-like. It has a very small town kind of attitude, and because maybe you can relate to this being in a town of 40,000, everybody knows everybody, pretty much, or they know somebody that knows, you know, where to go to solve these problems as far as getting rid of agitators. So how can your group help a city or a town like Hamilton that doesn't want to go out there and start banging on doors?
Well, I think what we do is we don't deal with the social agencies for, we deal with the housing projects. You know, we go into the housing projects themselves, and we don't just talk. We connect with the people who are living in poverty, because all our members are in welfare or in disability. And because we know for a fact that if we go to the welfare office with a group of 10 or 20 people, that they back down every single time. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't do the occupations for fun. We do it because it's the only effective way. And the thing is, it's so empowering to mostly the women. You know what I'm saying? So many women in our group have gotten off welfare, actually, after getting involved in our group, because they now have something to believe in again, you know?
How do you mean they've gotten off of welfare? They've gotten jobs?
They get out of violent situations, domestic violence situations. They connect with other women and people, and they start to see hope again. You know, like, that's what the Special Diet Campaign has done, is, and I've seen it so many times, is that it's made them believe in themselves, use the word like comrade, you know, like that's something that our group uses. And they go to housing projects and hear people start calling each other comrades and brothers and sisters and stuff like that. And they never have before. We've been denounced in art by the NDP.
It sounds very underground. I mean, when you use words like comrade, the first thing that comes to mind is, like, you know, the underground French connection during the war and that level of activism.
You know, I hate to say it, but it feels like that. I mean, right now I'm sitting in an apartment. We're waiting for the cops. Every half hour, there's a radio announcement naming our group. The news, another article in the paper saying that, you know that we're wanted to call Crime Stoppers.
No kidding.
You know, I feel like I know what you said about the French Resistance. That's what I feel like. I've been thinking that. I've been, this is.
I have another question as far as what media sources are pumping out this Let's Get Tag.
We've got two papers in our town, apart from the college paper, and they're both owned by Osprey.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both, corporate media. They have our agenda on the front pages because we forced them to. You know what I'm saying? That's what we've done, is that we've engaged in this militant action, I think, for two reasons. Not just to make it prominent, but mostly that they understand that poor people will not just sit idly by and be lied to and treated this way. That we will respond, we will take action, and we will go to jail. Yes, we will. We will go to jail because our kids are going hungry. People are starving, and they don't seem to understand it. And we will force our issue on the front page, and we have forced our issue. You know, we will not be ignored.
But what about a mother that goes to jail? She's going to lose her kids.
I don't, Maggie, I'm not sure what to say. I just spoke to one of the moms that was charged, taken in. Oh, just a second. It's very upsetting. I just spoke to a mom, you know, one of the many moms in our group, but this one particular mom, and she's talking about 30 days. And you know what? You know, she'll be fine. She's, you know, OCAP has offered money. Comrades from Sudbury have offered to come down and watch her kids.
What about social services, though? Won't they step in if
Yeah, you know what? They called us. They want to meet with us. You know. They called us the other day and they said, "Look, we want to listen to your issues," and so we have a deputation to the Joint Social Services County Joint Social Services Committee. Finally, at last, they're wanting to hear us.
So, in other words, you're not that concerned that social services will step in with Children's Aid if one of these moms from your activist groups goes to jail.
We are concerned about that. Because Children's Aid Society, that is literally a daily issue for us, right? But what I'm saying is that we've got plans in place. No, the moms who are being accused of this stuff are going to be okay, and they told us that if they have to face 30 days in jail. See, here's the thing: when we do these actions, you have activists like myself, male activists like myself, who organize. But when we actually go into Parsons' office and all that, it's not us leading the way. You know, we're not the ones wrestling with the door with the constituency worker. Those are the moms doing it, you know?
It's about,
you can't hold these people back.
Well, it's like a mother lion trying to make sure her cubs are fed. It's to that level of panic.
But that is what has struck me, is that with all these actions, we organize the events, but when it comes to the militancy, We're following. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Truly.
Mm-hmm. You're empowering people to stand up for themselves and strength in numbers. I guess it's a rather bad cliche.
That's right. And they're being demonized.
Okay, so can you just tell me again the radio station call numbers, the press, the newspaper names, the television station, because I want to go and check on some of this for myself to see, you know, to hear for myself. What are they saying about you? I want to hear this myself.
There's CJBQ.
And what is that?
CJBQ. That's a local station, radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And
AM or FM?
I think it's FM, I would imagine.
Okay, I'll have to find out.
And it's kind of the big one. They've got a number of stations, you know, but CJBQ, and they do phone-ins, you know, and the things that they have said about us, you know, about the mums and stuff like that. I don't know if you really want to put yourself through this. The local paper, the Intelligencer, you know, the editorial, they trashed us many times in the past. We're used to that, right? But the CJBQ radio station is particularly hurtful and engages in poor bashing. You know?
Do you feel that the CJBQ radio station, the host, he's leading his callers?
Oh, definitely. We had an incident about last year when the Raise Rates campaign started. We had what was called a steal-thon, and that's where we advocated that.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, we advocated that poor people come out of the closet and steal, you know, because that's what they're doing anyways, a lot of them, right?
Yeah, go steal some food.
Yeah, and so we went to all the grocery stores, we passed around flyers, and CJBQ not only, you know, did their typical radio broadcast, but they also had a live broadcast with a sister station in Alberta where they just went apeshit against us, you know, and called us all sorts of names. But a lot of people called in from across the country saying that, you know, you guys are like Robin Hoods, you know, you guys, you know, steal from the rich and give to the poor.
Yeah.
And that's what this special diet thing was. It actually got people money, put it right in their pockets, and changed their lives for a little while.
Filled their bellies for a while. I'm not surprised at all. In fact, I predicted that one day, you know, sooner or later, grocery stores would be robbed, and it's a no-brainer because the food banks are constantly empty. They can't keep up. It's just too many people living in poverty for too long a period of time. And we're talking 12 or more years. This is a whole generation for a kid.
Oh, and
it's ridiculous. We have children growing up their whole lives not knowing how to, you know, eat for a whole month in Canada.
We're seeing what lives wasted. We're seeing lives just thrown away, and we're seeing women stuck in violent situations because they know damn well what waits for them outside. You know, if they leave that violent partner, they're, you know, it's a death sentence in many cases.
We've been speaking to John from Belleville with the Tenant Action Group, and they are being hunted currently by police and mainstream media. Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Redefining radio.
Sync FM.